Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point. With your host, Dan Rennie.
Well, good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I start, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where our program is broadcast, and also like to pay my respects to elders past and present, and also pay respects to our honourable ancestors. It is a pleasure to have your company, and thanks for joining us. Well, it's been a big week, hasn't it? Indigenous round in the netball, and you'd have to think it was a bit of a farce, definitely tokenistic, and we saw the scenes on the sideline of young Gemma Mai Mai, the heartbreaking look on her face, and it's hard to describe how I felt as a First Nations man watching those visions, especially in the lead-up to the game when she was absolutely everywhere, all over mainstream media, being touted as, you know, the only Indigenous player in the netball. Heartbreaking to see her not get a second of game time, and we're going to be discussing it in length today. A little bit later, Helena Saunders will be joining us to share her thoughts and her experiences as one of the inaugural Queensland Firebirds players, and herself, a proud First Nations woman, the only at the time as well. So history repeating itself somewhat when we look at the scenes over the weekend. But I'm pleased to say joining us for the first half of the show is Sue Gordian. Sue, you have been outspoken ever since the incident. Why did this affect you so much?
Well, firstly, Dan, thanks for touching base and really pleased to chat with you. I know not everyone's answering your phone at the moment. So, as a commentator of the sport, I guess as an influencer of the sport, as someone that's been around the game for a substantial period of time, the one area for me that I deeply wanted to see get right, particularly this year, in terms of what Suncorp Super Netball delivered, was Indigenous Round. And the reason for that was an interview I had done earlier in the year with Beryl Friday. Beryl Friday, a former Queensland Firebird who came over to Western Australia and had a few games with the West Coast Fever last year. And I also play a role as an assistant coach with the club there. And Beryl had decided to come on and have a bit of a chat with me about some of her experiences that she'd had inside the time that she was at the Firebirds. And it really did catch me off guard. I was oblivious to her experiences. And then beyond that, oblivious to maybe some that had gone before and been treated similarly. And as you said, there'll be others that probably chat with you today about that. So off the back of that, I had probably worked quite hard with Netball Australia around the importance of us not looking tokenism and trying to dig deeper. And I'm only one person, Marcia Ella Duncan, our first ever Indigenous Australian representative, Sharon Finn and White, also had worked closely with Netball Australia on what they could do, I guess, in terms of the bigger picture for our sport. But in the short term, it was around making sure that the Indigenous round of Suncorp Super Netball held a far greater prestige to it. And so that's why when that one moment, and it happened to be the last game of the round, of the Indigenous round, we'd already had three games, the one in Townsville on the Wednesday night and two games that had unfolded before that. And I'd only been saying to my co-commentator, Liz Ellis, at the time, that I had felt that there was a far greater significance to Indigenous round this year, and that the way in which clubs had dug deeper into wanting to learn and know more around Indigenous round and the education that had gone to the players. There was a education session put in place leading into Indigenous round for all players, coaches and officials. Had never happened before. You know, the way in which some of the clubs engaged in the local communities up in far north Queensland. These were all just minor steps, but they were steps that had never happened before. So I was acknowledging with Liz Ellis around how good this had been. We went into that last game and I was actually really excited to see the Firebirds play, because I felt, number one, obviously we knew Gemma Mai Mai was within the ranks, but also two, it was their opportunity to showcase their netball in front of a really great crowd up in far north Queensland. And then, as you saw in the last minute of the game, not only had Gemma Mai Mai not been given an opportunity to play on court, but there was an opportunity that presented without a doubt where she should have been able to go onto that court. And the club let her down, and that, to me, was gut-wrenching. And, it was a moment in commentary, probably one of the toughest moments I've ever had as a commentator, to be honest, Sam, because I felt right in that moment, not that I had to be careful what I said, because I don't think that's the way you go about it. I speak quite honestly as a commentator, but I was exceptionally mindful in that moment that maybe what I said could have repercussions on someone like Gemma. And maybe that's what I've found hard over the last couple of days, has just been my absolute concern for her off the back of this. But, yeah, I was really disappointed by the moment that transpired in the very last minute of Indigenous round for us.
Do you regret any of the things that you've said? And the backlash has been pretty intense, targeted towards you.
Yeah, I don't regret what I said in commentary by any stretch of the imagination. I felt that as a sport, we hold Indigenous round for a purpose, and for me that is twofold. Number one, it is ideally to showcase what I see is talent that we have at Suncorp Super Netball, and in this particular year, we only had Gemma Maimai. And, you know, it wasn't like Gemma hadn't played a good portion of game time leading up to that point. She wasn't just someone that sat on the bench and you know, watched on. And secondly, the Firebirds weren't capable of making finals, and they weren't going to lose that game at the moment that I think 99% of the population felt there was the opportunity. So I don't regret that moment. And probably I don't regret any of the, I guess, support I've tried to put in place around it. But at the same time, again, I will be the first to put my hand up and say that I still need to work on my understanding of the depth of this issue that we have as a sport and as a country. So I guess, you know, it's not about regretting what I say, it's about learning from what I say.
Have you spoken to Gemma?
I have reached out to Gemma. I wanted to speak to her immediately. I actually was, ironically, and I have to put a shout out to Beryl Friday. Beryl and I, we keep in very good contact, and she rang me a couple of days ago just to check in and see how I was going. And it was funny, I was out walking I actually was going to return home from my walk to give her a call. I had my phone with me and she rang, and so we had a bit of a laugh that we were both checking in on each other. But she had touched base with Gemma, and I'd sort of asked if it was okay to share Gemma's number. But I have reached out to Gemma at this point in time. Gemma hasn't taken my call. I know she's spoken to a couple of former Indigenous players, and I know Marcy has reached out to her, and I certainly know Sharon spoke to her immediately post the game. But you know what? I understand at the moment Gemma's still got a game of netball to unfold. She still has a contract with a club, which she dearly needs to try and perform to the best of her ability. And as an elite athlete, she'll be doing everything she possibly can to ensure her focus remains solely on that. How she responds post-season, I think, will be really interesting, and you know, I'll continue to reach out to her. And if she wishes to respond, then that'd be great. But it's more importantly that she knows that there are people out there that are desperately concerned around her well-being, but also to want to be able to understand how she's feeling and continue to get better at this within our sport.
All right. Obviously, I've reached out to the Queensland Firebirds, to number one, check on the welfare of Gemma and see if she's available to come on our show and have a discussion. And I was met with that Gemma won't be making any statements for her own well-being. That's the line being trotted out by the Queensland Firebirds, and even their own people won't talk to us here at 98.9 FM Aboriginal media to get some answers from them. So it's it's a little bit strange that statement came out that totally missed the mark. But the fact that they won't come on and explain it a little bit further, and I'm extending the invitation right now, if anyone from Queensland Firebirds hears this, we'd love to speak to you. But very strange. In the week before, she was being trotted out to all and sundry, and now I can't get a comment.
Yeah, and as I said, I could understand why maybe Gemma needs to refrain from that at the moment, and it may be that she offers herself up to the media or whatnot post the season.
So shouldn't that be Gemma's decision, not the Firebirds?
Well, it should be Gemma's decision, absolutely. I do agree, and I am, look, to be honest with you, Dan, I'm unaware of the communication between Gemma and the Firebirds. The fact that the Firebirds aren't willing to, I guess, take media probably just shows a little bit of immaturity, not just within that club, but I also actually believe within our sport. I think our sport's got to, you know, beyond this incident and the way in which it has had a major effect on the Indigenous community, I think our sport being in the spotlight for reasons other than just playing the game is so new. We're not, we usually dot every I and cross every T in terms of the way we go about our business compared to some of the other male-dominated sports. And so I think the second that we get in the spotlight, I don't necessarily know that we behave or know how to behave that well. And again, without making, and I'm not trying to make excuses for the sport, but we do have to get better at this. And being able to take a phone call, say that we're wrong, or take responsibility, or back up a statement with whatever it is that you want to say. I think it's really important, and I think as a sport we've got to continue to make sure that we are opening ourselves up to the media. And it's why, you know, it's why I've taken the phone call from you. I don't want to stand back and not discuss it, and but I want to make sure that in doing so, you know, that people like Gemma are protected through this to the best of their ability. And so, yeah, for me, a little disappointing in the Queensland Firebirds. I think it'll be a tough weekend for that club when they step out and play their last game on Saturday.
I think enough has been taken away from Gemma, and now the Firebirds are taking away her freedom to make decisions on who she speaks to, when last week they were shoving her in front of every camera and every microphone that was available with the knowledge that she wasn't going to play, and now they're taking away the right for her to speak out and let us know how she's feeling.
Yeah, look, and look again, I was 2 points there. I don't think you can say with the knowledge of knowing she wasn't going to play. I whilst their media statement claimed that they went about ensuring that, you know, they went out to win that game, and whether Gemma was in that seven or not to begin with, I think the moment that the Queensland Firebirds missed, they could have released that statement, or they could have achieved what they wanted to achieve this weekend, as well as achieved Gemma Maimai being on the court and making sure that Indigenous Round finished with the right message and theme relative to everything we're trying to do and achieve in the sport. And they didn't do that. And so then to go and put a media statement out where they said they felt they missed community expectation is just so wrong on so many levels, because I'm not sure which message or which memo they didn't get. So I think that's really poor. But to say that we knew Gemma wasn't going to be on the court, that's not the case, because like any game, things unfold through the game. Mm. Gemma certainly would have been sitting there, and had the game not have been, if the Firebirds had been behind, I think Gemma probably would have got on the court in a matter of seconds, but that wasn't the case. But there was that incident at the back of the game where that the opportunity was there and it should have been taken.
It looked like she was getting on.
Yeah, and to be blatantly honest with you, you know, every single person in netball I've spoken to, where I've begged the question of them in that moment, what would you have done? I've spoken to other Suncorp Super Netball coaches. They all said, well, it's easy to say in hindsight, but with hand on heart, Gemma would have been on the court in that moment. So it's disappointing. It is really disappointing. And I can't shy away from my disappointment in the coach, Rosalie Jenke, and in the club, in the way they defended that moment. So I think that's really poor. The one thing I will say on behalf, or not on behalf of Gemma, but in terms of the work that Gemma did in the lead-up, she did a terrific interview with ABC Grandstand around having to go through a learning curve of understanding the role and the responsibility she held as the only Indigenous player in Suncorp Super Netball at the moment. And for some time she struggled with that, but that she had come to a point where she had been able to embrace that, and that was leading up into the round. And I felt like a lot of what Gemma did leading up to the Indigenous round, I think she was exceptionally proud to do. And I think we should stand by that. I think all Indigenous people should be exceptionally proud of the work she did leading up. What we have to worry about now is whether or not Gemma still feels proud in that moment. And she would no doubt have an extraordinary amount of support coming from all Australians. There's no two ways about it. But, you know, Gemma Maimai could have walked away one of the greatest role models, Indigenous role models in our sport in some time.
We didn't get a chance to see her.
Away from her. No, and that was taken away from her. And that's really disappointing.
Yeah, we didn't get the opportunity, and it was, you know, that perfect opportunity to bring attention to not only the sport, but I guess the lack of representation in the sport, as Gemma is the only First Nations woman in Netball Australia. Why is that, Sue? Why are there no pathways for our young people to get into the sport like there is in rugby league and AFL?
Yeah, do you know what, though? We do have the pathways, and this is why the question is so burning at the moment. And there's certainly a bit of work being done behind the scenes at Netball Australia, and I feel really confident that we will see a shift in this space in the coming period. But I think I don't believe there's one specific reason. I think it's a collective of reasons that our sport has to get better at. And one of the things we also need to keep in mind is the different role that a female plays inside the family, and that and that's not just Indigenous, that's across all sports. So community netballers, we struggle to get any community netballers at times through our pathway, tyranny of distance, family support, financial issues. Then you go and add to that an Indigenous athlete, and I guess the support system that we've got to get better at putting in place, that's what's lacking. So the pathway is there. I actually think netball has some terrific pathways, but we don't necessarily have the support mechanisms in place or the financial support. And I think netball's got to prioritise in one respect, but I also think the government's got to get better. We're the number one female sport in the country, yet we don't get near the financial return that the boys' sports get. So we're being asked to deliver, in essence, the same sort of, in this incident, the same sort of numbers that come through our system as you see in the NRL, in rugby, in AFL. But we simply don't have we don't have 1/20th of the money that's gone to the boys' sports. So the government needs to step up and be far better, but netball needs to massage this area far more significantly. And like I said, I don't believe it's one reason. There's a various number of reasons that we've got to get better at. And even education throughout our system must improve.
We're going to hear from Helena Saunders very shortly. Now, she's been outspoken since the incident. She's come out, written an article for Indigenous X saying there's an ingrained racism in the sport of netball. Not only that, but also an elitist kind of attitude and things of that nature. What do you say to that?
Well, she would be right because she's experienced it. So I can't speak on her behalf. But I would have to say she's right. And my ears opened when Beryl Friday spoke to me, and now my ears are opened even further with what's transpired with Jemima. So, if you want to find a moment of optimism in an exceptionally terrible situation, that is that someone like Helena Saunders is finding a voice in this moment to be able to step up and say it's not good enough. And unfortunately, she didn't have that support back then, but she realises now that she can support by speaking up and sharing her story. And I think, I wouldn't underestimate or undervalue the importance of that story in Indigenous X. I honestly believe hers, alongside Marthia's, alongside some of the shared experiences that we're hearing from Sharon and from Beryl and from others, that these voices collaborating together will force the sport. And sometimes that's how it has to happen. So I say go for it. I say absolutely go for it. And I like I say, I feel confident that the sport wants to grow in this area. And as I said, I'm privy to know that there is a lot working in the background. I know that both Marthia Ella Duncan and Sharon Finn and White are a big part of that. They're not happy at which the speed in which things have happened, but they are now far happier with the response that's coming from the decision makers, particularly over the last 6 months. To shift anything, Dan, you can't do it overnight. You can't click your fingers. And when something's culturally embedded, it takes time. So the sport it'll take time for the sport to get it right. I would like to see and to hear from the sport sooner rather than later around what is that's happening. Like, as I said, I want them publicly out there and explaining what's happening, and then I want to feel it happen. And hopefully, in a year's time, you and I can have a chat and say, well, these are the things that are shifting in the sport.
If you're just joining us, Sue Gordian is with us. We're discussing the events of the weekend during Indigenous Round. Sue, they say all publicity is good publicity. Is that the case for the Firebirds and netball in this instance?
Yeah, good question, because I've quoted that a number of times, Dan. So, look, it is. It's what you do with it, isn't it? The only area I worry about with this publicity is Jemima. When you say all publicity is good publicity, as long as Gemma is supported through this, and that she, I mean, there's been nothing negative written about Gemma. Everything is about supporting Gemma, but the reality is it's all off the back of her experience. So my concern is around her experience. Does the sport benefit from this? Well, hopefully, because the sport gets to learn and grow. So you would like to think that that's the case. Does the sport, how does the sport cope with, you know, I guess, a massive amount of negativity on it? How do the Queensland Firebirds cope with a massive amount of negativity? Well, let's wait and see. I mean, I don't know, but I certainly hope that the Queensland Firebirds will be one of the most proactive clubs in the future in terms of how they shift from this point forward. If I was a Firebirds fan, if I was a member inside that club, if I worked inside that club, I would be struggling today to have my name attached based on what's happened and the backlash. It would be really, really difficult. So, and we know in a lot of other sports, moments like this can be career-defining, career-ending. So it'll be really interesting to watch and see what unfolds inside the Queensland Firebirds. And I don't have a closeness with the club, so I don't know. I don't really have any insight to what's happening there. But as I said, I do have a voice to Netball Australia, and I'm really confident that there will be change and that they will lead well in this space.
I've been doing this for a while, Sue, and, you know, reporting on sports and speaking to sporting organisations, and never have I received the pushback or reluctance to speak. I mean, if you call a rugby league club, you'll have someone speaking to you or arranging an interview. Likewise with the AFL, soccer. It all seems rather amateurish and almost like they're hoping this just goes away and is swept under the rug.
And you know what? I could not put that any better. Netball wants to put itself front and centre. It wants to be a professional sport, but it needs to understand that when the spotlight comes on you, it comes on you for various reasons, and you also need to know how to manage those moments. And, you know, you're right, the longer they probably don't answer or don't speak, the longer this stays around. And I mean that in the sense that, you know, until the next story breaks, you know, and that could be forever in our sport. In football, the next story breaks the next day and the media move on as such. So it's disappointing. And I think, you know, it is. It's a moment of spotlight that says maybe the sport is still sitting in that bracket of amateur. And until it understands how to be far more accountable, be more honest, to show a greater empathy in moments like this, then it will sit in that category of amateur for some time to come.
Sue, certainly thank you for your time, your honesty, and you know, being able to speak your mind. It feels like at this time there's not many brave enough or game enough to do so. I do appreciate your honesty and your time and speaking up.
Yeah, Dan, thank you. And I can't apologise on behalf of the sport because I'm not the sport, but I can tell you that, yeah, it was a very devastating time on the weekend for many. Yeah, and I just hope we get better at what we do because, people don't deserve what just took place on the weekend.
Finally, what happens when the Firebirds take the court next?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. I'm commentating that game. What do you think? I don't know. I'm intrigued. You know, there's been a massive backlash from their fans. They're asking for the club to be better. Do they turn up and support? Do they... You know, I don't know. I think the one thing that Firebirds fans need to do is turn up and support Gemma Maimai. That's what I'd do. If it was me in a purple kit as an absolute mad sporting netball fan and a member of the Firebirds club, my job this weekend would be to get a ticket or if not turn the TV on and support Gemma Maimai in every way, shape and form because I think that's what needs to happen. And I think that the Firebirds Club needs to know that people are there to support her because of what took place. And I think that's probably a way that they could send a really strong message.
Yeah, watch this space.
Absolutely.
Hey, Sue, thanks so much for joining us, eh?
Absolutely. Pleasure. Anytime.
This is Let's Talk on 98.9 FM. Back with Helena Saunders, the Forgotten Firebird, right after this.
It's kind of icky, the depths that you go to bring a good girl, to bring a good girl down. Just cause you're icky, don't mean it's you're down to bring. to bring a good girl down.
Welcome back to Let's Talk. Dan Rennie with you for your regular Friday edition of Let's Talk. And we've been talking about the disgrace that was Indigenous Round in the netball. And not surprising that this isn't the first time it's happened. The Forgotten Firebird is an article written by Helena Saunders. And she wrote this for Indigenous X. And she's been kind enough to join us on the program today. Helena, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Your mob and your country.
Yes, Gundijmara, Wiradjuri, Victoria, New South Wales. Yes, I'd like to acknowledge my traditional owners.
We all watched in anticipation because it was the first Indigenous round in Netball Australia, and many thought perhaps tokenistic leading up, as the very talented Gemma Maimai was plastered all over the campaign or the promotion. She was on the promotion trail. But reading your article, that's not the first time this has actually happened. And you write in your article, The Forgotten Firebird, that, you know, you were wheeled out as, you know, being the only Indigenous female in Netball Australia, and it was like you were being taken advantage of.
So I was picked in the very first Firebirds team. Yeah, and at that time I was the only Indigenous player in the team. And, yeah, look, a lot of incidents happened to me that I've never spoken about. My family don't even really know. And look, to be honest, at the time you look at and you question what happened to you, and you question whether or not, you know, is it just you feeling a bit funny, or is it something a bit deeper than that? But I certainly can empathise with Gemma in terms of, they did promote me. They named me the CEO at the time, wanted to make me the face of Queensland Netball. And they did. They paraded me around and introduced me to sponsors. And it was totally, and I feel now as an adult that I can say it was totally a token, you know, tokenism kind of thing, that they just paraded me. And it was more to get sponsors on board. They were more to saying, you know, this is an Indigenous player that we've got picked in our elite team, because I wasn't making the court at the time. And after the couple of games after they did that, like, I think I spoke in one of my statements about I went to with the CEO to the Indy down the Gold Coast, and they were introducing me to all these high rollers. And the next game, next Firebirds game, I didn't even make the court. And it was very confusing as a young girl. I'm being told, yeah, you're this, you're the face of the netball, and then next minute you're not, and you're benched. And sometimes I wasn't even making the squad to sit on the bench. So, yeah, I can kind of understand different circumstances with Gemma, but just watching her on the weekend, the disappointment. It was heartbreaking, wasn't it? Like, just her face.
I've got the image of Gemma in front of me right now sitting on the bench that accompanied the statement, which I'll read out very shortly. Mm. But the sadness in her face and in her eyes is hard to put into words.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. She's an elite athlete. She's a competitor. She would have wanted to have been on that court, first and foremost, as a player. And then secondly, because it was the Indigenous round, she 100% would have been wanting to be on there, given that this is the round that, you know, her time to shine. I hope she's getting the support at the moment. I'm not sure where she is. I mean, I don't follow netball, and I'll be honest with you, since I quit all those years ago, I've not watched any games. I don't follow. I didn't know about Gemma until this incident, so I couldn't even tell you what her playing style is like. But I know she's a competitor, and I know that she's a good player, and I've heard from many people since that she's definitely, you know, in that starting lineup, that starting seven. So it's disappointing.
Helena, take us into the inner sanctum of the netball, I suppose, team environment. Would she have been told all week leading up to the game that she would be playing, or would it just have been assumed since she was on the promotional trail and doing all the big talk shows and doing all the media that she would be playing? Was she told, or would she be just assuming?
I wouldn't imagine that she would have been told. I'm not sure the practices of the Firebirds these days, but back when I played, yes, you did have like a leadership group, which consisted of the captain and a couple of the older players, and you did consult with the coach, but the coach makes the decision. Every team I've ever played in, no player has ever made the decisions on who plays. It's always been the coach. I wouldn't imagine that the coach would have come out and told her. I would imagine that the coach would have just announced the team. And I think she may have assumed that she was going to get played. Like every player that's in that team, you always assume you're going to get on the court at some stage, and it's disappointing when you actually don't. But I don't know if the coach would have told her straight out, you're going to be on for this game.
I must admit I'm not a netball aficionado, but I was certainly interested in this game. If you're on the bench, is it unusual for you not to play?
Look, it depends on the circumstances. There are I've gone plenty of games where I've sat on the bench the whole game and never actually partaken in the starting seven or the lineup. But look, it depends if, you know, how important the game is in terms of the points. It depends if you've got a strong starting seven and they've been consistently winning. There's a lot of factors involved. But in saying that, from what I hear from everyone just since this incident, the Firebirds are not in the running for the finals, and this game had no impact on the result. So I still don't understand why the decision wasn't made to play all the players that were on the bench.
You also mentioned in that brilliant article that you wrote, The Forgotten Firebird, that there's a class or an elitist sort of mentality when it comes to netball. I mean, I come from rugby league background where it's grassroots and you know, blue collar, but I get the feeling that netball is a little bit different. It's a bit more elitist and there's sort of classes, as you point out in that article.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, like I said to you, I can't really speak for these days because I'm not involved. However, I do have family members that are still involved. But back when I was growing up, it certainly is that the ones that, you know, they've got their mum and dad and they go to university. They're the sort of middle class kind of families, and they were the ones that were making teams, and they're the ones that were in teams with myself. And I can only imagine, like, even now turning on the TV, I see the Firebirds and I see, you know, the players, and they've got degrees, university degrees, and they've got this kind of job, and they've got photos here and there. I don't see any working class girls. I don't see the girls that have come from the background where they've had to struggle to get to the team. So I question the selection process. Who's actually out there selecting, you know, the ones in the country, in the bush? Who's actually out there seeing them play? Because I'm sure there's so many talented players out there, but are they being given the opportunity to come in? And the elite players that you see on Firebirds, in Firebirds, are they the best of the best, or are they just the ones that have the parents that can get them to the competitions and get them to be seen? Are they the ones that can afford to be at every single carnival and wear the best of the shoes and the best, you know, outfit? So, yeah, I question a lot of that. No, it has to go back to Netball Australia and Queensland Firebirds and all the other netballing bodies in Australia. What are your processes? Because I know I come from a very strong rugby league background, and there's lots of battlers in rugby league, and you see all the battlers and they, you know, they live for their rugby league and they go to all the games. And yeah, with netball, it's not the same. I mean, it probably is in country towns, but I don't know if anyone in the big city actually goes out and recruits from the country towns.
It's definitely not reflective in the fact that Gemma Maimai is the only First Nations woman represented in the whole of Netball Australia. But this is, again, pointed out in your article that it was 1997 when you were 19 that you were selected to play for the inaugural Queensland Firebirds, and at the time you were the only Indigenous player in the competition. Now, if my maths is correct, that's 24-odd years ago, and this is happening all over again.
Yeah, it just seems like, yes, we are moving forward in terms of there is an Indigenous round, but what does that actually mean? Because, yeah, you're right, there's one player in the competition at the moment. And look, back when I was playing, there were a lot of other Indigenous players, Aboriginal players. There was Sharon Finnan, there was Alison Tucker, and they're all playing at elite level. But, yeah, these days, like, it's only Gemma at the moment, and you've got to question, why is that? Because I know from, you know, going out and coaching back when I was younger, there was lots of good players. Like, how have we not tapped into that and nurtured the younger generation and brought them through? Like, how, to Gemma's age, like, how have we only got one player?
You have to question what the purpose of the Indigenous round in netball is for, okay? If it's to encourage Indigenous participation in netball, why was the only Indigenous woman left on the bench? The best, you know, the best example of a way to lift spirits and encourage participation and pathways was left there with that heartbreaking image that I'm staring at right now.
And another thing too, I wanted to point out the statement that came from Queensland Firebirds saying that there was, I misread the community expectation. Well, the whole round was the Indigenous round. Mm. How could you misread that? Like, I'm questioning where that statement's come from, because my expectation would be you play your Indigenous players. It is a chance to showcase the Indigenous players and have more of them playing and encouraging more of them to play. It didn't happen. I'm questioning a few things on statements that have come out, and I would like, you know, I'd encourage other Aboriginal players that have had bad experience, speak out, because now's your time to heal from that as well.
Is this what prompted you to speak out, Helena?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said to you, I have nothing to do with netball. I chose to walk away, and I chose to walk away because I had such bad experiences. And it's upsetting because I've got two young girls, one 10-year-old and one 5-year-old, and I'd love for them to play, but I absolutely do not want them to experience what I experienced. And to be honest, I don't Google myself, but I did after this incident. I was like, oh, you know, I wonder what's being said about me. I'm almost nowhere on the internet, nowhere to be found, and I was one of the first to play for the Firebirds.
I must say, Helena, doing research for this interview, I found the exact same roadblocks, that I could not find any information about you at all on the Firebirds. You were the co-captain. I know that from reading your article. I know you're the first Indigenous woman to play for the Firebirds in Netball Australia. And that's only because of the article, The Forgotten Firebird, on Indigenous X. And I find that in this day and age when information is absolutely everywhere, the fact that you have not been recognised in any of their online activities is astounding and frankly disgusting.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, no, it is. It's very upsetting, but also too, like, I believe I have a lot to offer, and I quite enjoy coaching and I quite enjoy umpiring. Well, I did back in the day. However, I've never been approached by Queensland Netball or Netball Australia to do any sort of consultation, be a part of any kind of process. I've never had any contact from them at all. I've had some sort of contact from previous players, but nothing. Yeah, and look, no, I would like to be part of the solution. I don't want this to keep happening. It's horrible. And like you said, looking at the photo of Gemma, I don't want that to be another Gemma in another couple of years, you know? And I'd like to help Gemma. If she wanted to reach out, I'd be more than happy to help support her in any way she needs, although I'm sure she's got a strong family and she's got a lot of support around her at the moment. Just disappointing that we're where we are at this point in time.
If you're just joining us, Helena Saunders is with us this morning on Let's Talk. We're talking about the farce that was Indigenous Round in netball. The Queensland Firebirds, of course, played the Melbourne Vixens for the inaugural Indigenous Round for Super Netball. The statement that's come out that we touched on, I'm going to read it in full right now. The decision to not put Gemma on the court was the right one from a game strategy perspective. However, we misread community expectations and the significance of Gemma's court time in the game in this round. There was no game time, and the community expectations for an Indigenous round would be to have at least one Indigenous player, or the only Indigenous player, with the spotlight put on her in a game that meant absolutely nothing.
Yeah, look, moving forward, Queensland Firebirds have a lot to answer for, and they're going to have to look at their processes and they're going to have to look how they move forward from this and gain a lot of trust back from the community, because I'm getting messages and there's a lot of people that are very upset and very disappointed. And it's not just the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community, it's all of the netballing community that's commenting.
I've learnt as I've gotten older to try and stay away from the comments, especially when it's, you know, something in the mainstream that involves our mob. But, I couldn't help myself and got on there. And you're right, I think the sentiment is overwhelmingly in support of Gemma and the farce that is the so-called Indigenous Round. And it makes you wonder if, well, it doesn't make you wonder. It makes you realise that, you know, Indigenous Round for Super Netball meant Indigenous funding.
Yeah, look, and you're spot on there. Like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm not privy to anything because I'm not involved, but, yeah, they need to come out and they need to be open and honest with what's going on here, and they need to own it. It's, you know, the decisions that have been made, what kind of funding is going into all of this and where is that funding going? And, yeah, it's just it's very baffling. It's something that, I mean, I've come out and I've spoken out about it, and I haven't been involved in the netball arena or the sporting arena for a very long time. So I'm sure there's other people that have stories, and I'm sure there's other people that can share a bit more than what I could, but I hope I've helped someone in some way, and I hope Gemma hears what I have to say, and I hope she knows I'm with her.
Of course, I have tried to reach out to Gemma through the Firebirds, and their stance is she won't be making any comments for her well-being. She won't be making any statements or comments. What do you make of that?
Yeah, look, I'm not surprised that they've done that. They've shut up shop and she's probably been put on a media ban and told not to go on social media at all. That's them going into damage control. And, I mean, I'm not a media-trained person, but I would imagine that they're trying to minimise the noise that's being made, and people just want to hear from Gemma, and I think the noise is probably going to be heard until she speaks out or makes some sort of statement. It will be interesting to see what happens over the week and to see if they will allow that. But, yeah, I can see why they've done what they've done. But, yeah, look, it needs to be spoken about and it can't be silenced, because we keep being silenced about it, and look where we are, you know, 20-odd years, and we're still going through the same situation. So I just hope that she's getting support. I hope she's not on her own. That's my only thing, because, yeah, it's a big thing and I've been there, done that. And when you go through it on your own, it traumatises you. So as long as she's getting the support she needs, that's all I'm worried about with her at this point.
And, of course, not surprisingly, I reached out to the Firebirds to get some further understanding around that statement. I was met by the media contact who bluntly told me that's the statement and that's all we'll be saying. Is that surprising as well?
No, not really. I don't understand why they can't hold a hold some sort of press conference or, you know, release another statement, but clearly they're just wanting it to go away. And yeah, and like I said before, I'm encouraging everyone to not let this go away. Let's not make this the same problem and we go through it again and again and again. Let's be part of the solution and let's talk about it. Let's yarn about it. That's all it is. People just want to yarn about it and then let's talk to us about what you're going to do from now, because what happened on the weekend shouldn't have happened.
Wouldn't it have been smarter from them to come out and say, we stuffed up, we don't have the proper pathways, we don't have the proper consultation with First Nations people, here's what we're going to do about it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You own the problem and that would have been the first step. But yeah, you're right on saying, like, who were they consulting leading into this round? Like, was it actually a First Nations person that they were consulting other than Gemma? Like, and was there any elders involved? Like, who was involved? Because I certainly wasn't, and I can't speak for any of the other previous players, but I know that Sharon Finnan was commentating at the game and I haven't had a chance to chat to her either. I'd love to know her thoughts on it as well. Like,
No doubt she'll be told to shut up shop as well.
I'm sure she will, yes, but she was commentating and she's employed. I'm not sure who she's actually employed with, but that's why I've spoken out. I can speak freely. I can say what I actually feel because I don't have those obligations and I'm not being critical and I'm not accusing anyone. I'm saying, let's have a yarn about it. What can we do from here? You know, where can we go from here so this does not happen again?
I've reached out a number of times to the Firebirds over the last couple of days and I'll do it once again right now. We'd love to have someone from the Queensland Firebirds come on and discuss that statement a little bit further and the reasoning behind Gemma Maimai's omission from the team when she was the face of the week and she was trotted around like the token black person that obviously netball have made her out to be. And it's really, really sad for Gemma. We'd love to talk to her too. And Gemma, if you do get to hear this, we'd love to talk to you. Where does she go from here?
She might, she might have to have those hard talks with, you know, her coach and say, am I in your plans? And she might have to, you know, have some sort of support around her in terms of moving forward with promotions. Like, do you say no to doing promotions like that so you protect yourself and you're not used as a tokenism kind of thing? But yeah, she's a young lady, so I mean this will be very overwhelming for her, but there's plenty of previous Indigenous elite athletes in all codes. Grab someone and you know, have a yarn and see what they've gone through and see if they can help you. That's my only suggestion. But also too, I just wanted to quickly touch on that I don't just believe that it needs to be more Indigenous players. I believe there needs to be more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander players in the coaches, in the umpiring, in running these organisations, these associations. We don't have enough. And let's ask ourselves why there's not. Why are people becoming players and then leaving the game? There's got to be a reason for it. Let's get these kids that are coming through the ranks to have support and, you know, have a Murray or a Koori coach or have a Murray or a Koori umpire that you can connect with, you know, because it is important connecting with your own people. It's important to connect with everyone, but, you know, it's different when it's your own people, you know?
We certainly appreciate your time and thank you for speaking out and being so staunch and not taking a backward step in particularly your article, but, you know, yarning with us here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can catch up on our website, 989fm.com.au. Let's talk. I'm Dan Rennie. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll leave you with this one from Yurimal. Blackfella, whitefella. Bye for now.
Blackfella, whitefella, doesn't matter what your colour, as long as you are true fella, as long as you are real fella. All the people of different races with different lives in different places. It doesn't matter what your name is. We got to have lots of changes. We need more brothers if we're to make it. We need more sisters if we're to save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we shout it? Are you the one who's always ready with a helping hand? Are you the one who understands these family plans? Black fella, white fella, yellow fella, any fellow, doesn't matter what you color. As long as you are true fellow, all the people of different races with different lives in different places. It doesn't matter which religion, it's all the same when the ship is sinking. We need more brothers if we're to make it.
We need more sisters if we're to save it.
Oh, yeah. Are you the one who's gonna stay?